morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back yet again to the worldwide television studios of Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. Those of you on that side of the camera. And we're going to do the sermon today titled, Right in Front of You. Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And after last Sunday, my joke, people said, you got to quit telling them dumb jokes. And so I have decided that I'm not going to listen to that. I had to travel this past week for work. I had to spend the night, so I had to find a hotel room, and I got done my business, and I went to a hotel, and the first one I went to said they was full up. They didn't have any rooms. So I went to the next hotel, and I asked for a room, and they said they was full up. They didn't have no rooms. And by now, I'm starting to get a little bit aggravated, and I went to the third hotel, and I had a little bit of an attitude. And I walked up to the clerk at the counter, and I said, hey, I need to spend the night. And the man said, we have no rooms. I said, you have no rooms? He goes, no. I said, but my name is Improvement. And the clerk looked at me from the other side of the counter, and he goes, what's that got to do with anything? I said, well, there's always room for improvement. He asked me to leave. Right in front of you, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask that these words that you've given us today would strengthen us. We ask that they would fill us with joy and guidance, and that we would be able to use them to show the world the beauty of Jesus, your Son. We ask, Father, that we are using these to grow and walk with you closer. In Jesus' name, we give thanks for this message. And all of his children said, Amen. Now, this is a humorous story. And people find humor in it. But the truth of the matter is, it's really not that funny if you start to think about it from the context of being right in front of you. Apparently, there was a flood somewhere. A tremendous flood in the low part of the town became flooded and the water rose and people scrambled to get out of town, except for one man who decided he knew more than everybody else and he stayed. And as he sat in his living room, the water started to come around his feet, and so he eased on up to the second floor and he looked out the window and he watched the water keep coming up, and pretty soon it was at his feet on the second floor. And so he decided he better get to high ground. But then it was too late, so he climbed out and he got up on the roof of his house and he started praying to God, would you please help me? God, please bless me. God, please help me. I have made a mistake. I am here. I am stuck. And when he opened his eyes, he saw two men in a rowboat easing up to the house. And they hollered at him. They said, jump in. We'll save you. And he said, no, no. God is going to save me. And so they went on by. And a little while later, while he was praying for help, he heard a sound and heard a big motorboat pulled up. Bah, 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 pulled up alongside the house. Said, come on, man, get in here. I'll take you to safety. He said, no. God's going to save me. I've been praying. I'm asking. And the water kept rising. And pretty soon he heard a whop, 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 and a helicopter appeared over top of him and shouted in a bullhorn and said, "Hey, man, what are you doing? I'm going to drop a rope down to you. Grab hold of the rope. We're going to pull you up and take you to safety." And the man said, "No, no. God is going to save me." And the helicopter finally flew away to get other people. And the water rose up and rose up and rose up and drowned the man. He went to heaven, and he finally got his chance to sit down and talk with God about the whole situation. At which point God looked at him for a moment and said, "What?" And the man said, "Well, I had faith. I asked you to save me, but you didn't save me. You let me drown. I don't understand why." And God looked at him and said, "Look, I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What more did you expect? I blessed you right in front of you, and you chose to ignore it." There is a tremendous lesson right there for so many of us in this world. We have blessings that show up right in front of us, and yet we still either don't see it or clasp our hands or struggle with, "Woe is me." Let me ask you a question. How many people woke up this morning in this room? Now, see, everybody fell for that. They were like, "Oh, he got me again. Of course I woke up." And you're here, right? Did any of you eat breakfast or have a cup of coffee or a cup of hot tea? And you drove here, right? Say amen.
Amen.
My golly, that's a blessing. How many of you, when you fix to leave here today, are going to go have a piece of fried chicken or something to eat after church and have fellowship? Say amen.
Amen.
And you can. How many of you are blessed to be able to know that when you go home, for the most part, mechanical stuff notwithstanding, your house is going to be warm? Because I'm looking out the window and it's kind of a chilly day. Are you going to have heat? All right. Say amen.
Amen.
For some of you, whom I shall not name, I could set half my house on fire, and sometimes a particular individual in my home could be under 56,000 blankets and still not be warm. That's me. That's me. Not her, me. I told you I wasn't going to name myself, so I didn't get embarrassed. Thanks a whole lot. I struggle with using the right scripture to bring my point across this Sunday. There's so many of them. And there's an actual prelude to that scripture in the harmony of the Gospels. And I want to read it to you, because it begins to make you think during Jesus' ministry. He says, when Jesus had finished saying all this in Luke chapter 7 in the first verse, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And there was a centurion's servant whom his master highly valued, was sick and about to die. The centurion had heard of Jesus and sent elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with him. He was not far off from the house when a centurion sent friends to him to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." And the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. That is the prelude to the 10 men with leprosy. And I know you're sitting there going, "Really? I want to see you connect these dots." Well, buckle your seatbelt and let's ride. Ander Foldez was born December 21st, 1913. And he just passed away back in 1992. And I actually have heard his music because I am enthralled by somebody that can play a piano. It is one of those instruments that elude me. Between that and the space shuttle over there, I am fascinated with people that play a piano. He was internationally renowned Hungarian pianist, born in Budapest, became an American citizen. In 1921, he played his first Mozart concerto with the Budapest Philharmonic. 8 years old! Do you know what I was doing at 8 years old? Eating dirt. Happy about it. Feeling I was blessed to have the dirt. He entered into studies in 1932 and 1929. He made his American debut in 1940 with a radio recital, and the country blew up over Andor. And they chased after him, and they wanted to hear from him. As a matter of fact, his performances are so renowned. His 1948 recording of Bartok's Second Piano Concerto is prized by collectors, the actual record recordings, as the set of Bartok works. He was recognized for the Deutsche Grammophon, which is a prize given for that kind of work. As a matter of fact, he received the Grand Cross of Merit given to him by Germany in 1959 because he helped raise funds to rebuild Beethoven's hall that stands today. But at 16 years old, with all that going on, he was worried. He did not see his career going anywhere. He was studying, things were going great. He was having all these personal struggles, and he came, one of the most renowned pianists of the day came to Budapest, Emil von Sauer. He was famous for his abilities, and he was the last surviving pupil of the great Franz Liszt. Now, if you don't know who that is, Franz Liszt was a direct pupil of the master Beethoven. He asked him to play for him, and Anders wore that piano out, playing difficult works of Bach, Beethoven, and Schumann. And when he finished, von Sauer walked over to him and kissed him on the forehead and said, "My son, when I was your age, I became a student of Liszt. And he kissed me on the forehead after my first lesson, saying, take good care of this kiss. It was given to me the first time Beethoven heard me play and began to mentor me. And I have waited for years to pass it on, and I have now been blessed enough to do so, and I give it to you." Right in front of him was this blessing he didn't even know was coming. Right in front of him. My thought is often that we don't always see what's right in front of us. We get trapped looking for that big moment, don't we? We pray and we want to see, I don't know what happens. We want to see the sunlight pop. You want to stand there and be praying and watch a rose shoot up out of the ground. And I used chapter 17 as the basis for this because here were men who were so sick they had no hope. None. They were going to die in a very horrible manner. I've talked to you before about what leprosy is, and at that period in time, leprosy was a death sentence. You were going to be stuck on an island to sit there until your body parts fell off or you wasted away to nothing. You were going to die. There was no hope. Now, can you imagine being so alive and living in so much fear that the only thing you can think of is, when am I going to die? You can't see the blessings. And sometimes we get caught in our modern world. Let me rephrase that. I don't mean to preach at you. I've told you 100 times. I don't preach to you. I preach to Paul Leatherman on a Sunday morning and how many mistakes I've made this past week. You all just get to hear that conversation and ride along with me. How many times in this modern world have I looked around and said to myself, why don't I have this? when is this going to happen? I don't have leprosy. I don't have any great and horrible disease that is tearing me down. I have a home, I have food, I have a family, I have a church that has a family. And yet sometimes I can't see it. The old saying, what is it, the forest for the trees? Here are 10 men who have no hope. And Jesus walks into town from out of the blue, the great healer, the one that everybody's heard about, the great Jesus Christ, the great man himself has come along. And all he's doing is trying to walk along to his next point of ministry when he hears these 10 men start shouting at him. Shouting. And the Bible records it. On his way to Jerusalem, he was traveling in a foreign land between Samaria and Galilee. He was where he had no bearing. He was a Jew in a foreign land. Going into a village, and the Bible says they stood at a distance and called with a loud voice. They knew who he was. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They stayed so far away. They saw this opportunity to maybe get away from this wretched disease, and they shouted at him until he noticed them. And I got to tell you, I've told you before, I'm looking forward to that day when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Anyhow, we're all going to get to heaven, and I know up there somewhere is the video room. And I know that when I get done with seeing all family and friends and having a long talk with the Father in heaven and Jesus going, he's going to be patting me on the back going, we were worried about you, but you finally made it there at the end. Good job, Paul. I'm going to look at him and go, where's the video room? And in that room is a large screen with buttons. And all you got to do is think it. I want to see the 10 men he healed with leprosy. Boop! And it's going to start playing right in front of you. And we get to watch it. And all he said to them was, walk over there and show yourself to the priest. Do you understand what he told them to do? He told them to go get near someone. Men that were with leprosy, the most contagious, hated disease of its time, he said, walk over and show yourself to the priest. And they went. And they were cleansed. As they were walking along, they were healed. They had a blessing placed right in front of them. And one of them, the Bible records him as a foreigner, suddenly realized what had happened. And he took off. Father, Jesus, thank you. Fell at his feet. And he was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. He had no business at all. They had no business interacting in that time. And Jesus asked him, where's the other ones at? Did it work? I mean, did everybody get healed? Did everybody enjoy the fruits of my labor? Did everybody get a part of it? Did everybody get that small blessing? He didn't know what to say. And Jesus knew. And he looked at him and said, look, rise up, go. Your faith has made you well. The centurion that had a servant that was in such pain realized that there was a blessing in front of him, that he didn't need to have a great moment. He just needed to hear Jesus speak the word. We oftentimes see things waiting for that great and giant blessing. And the truth of the matter is, it's right in front of you on a regular basis. Now, I have this friend who relayed me this story that kicked this sermon into gear. And let me put in my disclaimer. Let me remind you once again. And I wrote it down. Let me put my glasses on because I don't want to mess up my own writing. As my friend or family member or whatever or however you are connected to me or have met me, anything at any time can and will be used in a sermon. Now, ain't that just a blessing? You better be careful around me. I have a good friend, and I don't I don't want to embarrass him, so I will not give the name, but I do know that he watches from the other side of the camera. And I don't want to embarrass him. And he lives in a certain state that is known for being round on both ends and high in the middle. Now, I know you don't know what state that is. A little while back, we had a cold snap. We had a very, very bitter cold snap. And I mean, it got forever more cold. I was talking to him after this had taken place. We were discussing some things. And I asked him how he was doing. He said, "Let me just tell you how I'm doing." He said, "The other day, it was too cold for my seasoned years." Yes, that means you're old. "My seasoned years to go out and go to work." He said, "I don't have to, and they can carry on with me without me." He said, "It was too cold." And I said, "I am going to stay home in the heat, and I am going to read, and I am going to just be fine. The next day it'll be warmer, and I'll go back to work." And thus he did. And I said, "Okay, well, that's." And he said, "No, that's not the blessing." Okay, do tell. He said, "There I was, sitting in my living room, feeling guilty." That I was sitting in my chair, had the heat on, and had a heater in the room plugged in facing me to get warm. He said, "I was just sitting there feeling all beside myself when suddenly, in front of my own eyes, the electrical socket it was plugged into burst into flames. I don't think I got quite the right response. Burst into flames. While he was looking at it." Now, typically when I'm in the shop and I'm looking at something and it bursts into flames, I am generally the cause of it. Not this time. He said it jolted him into reality, burst into flames right in front of him. He got it put out. And it started up again, and he got it put out again, and he went and found the breaker and he killed it. And he found that the socket had a problem with it, which was corrected, and they made sure everything was safe. Let me read this scripture. This is a famous old scripture that we've heard so many times from Matthew 6, starting in the 25th verse. I don't want to move on in that story until we hear this. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, with the clothes you wear. Is it not more important? Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." There are blessings right in front of you. Hey, did I tell you about my friend who was sitting there staring at the electrical socket, feeling sorry for himself, and suddenly it burst into flames? That's a great response. And I was taken back. And he said, "Paul, I am so blessed. If I had not been home, all gone. Gone. Everything he owns, gone. I am so blessed." He said, "Yes, it could have happened and everything could have been gone and that would have been all right because I'd have still had myself. But here in this moment, I am so blessed." And he glowed about it when we were talking. And I got to thinking, aren't we all? Right here, right now, in front of me, on this side of the camera, on that side of the camera, are dozens of stories about when we got blessed. I could spend the next 17 hours letting you guys get up here one after the other. Not going to do that because I'm going to get hungry at some point. And what's more is there's dozens more where we may not realize until later on, and sometimes if at all, that we had a blessing. Sometimes somebody else sees what happened and shows us that blessing. Sometimes it's something that's so right in front of us that we cannot see it. God loves us so much, and I just want to remind you of what is right here, right now, in front of you. That. The greatest blessing ever. Always right in front of you. Let me remind you. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Our faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the constant blessing right in front of you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we get these lessons, that we get taught these things, that we find these moments that we can step back for a moment and remind ourselves how wonderful it is to be blessed by a loving God who gave us his only begotten Son for our salvation. And that by doing that gave us the greatest blessing that teaches us to know the blessings we have. Sometimes we don't see them, but they're always there. Let us be reminded to be ever thankful that we are loved, cared for by you, and saved by Jesus Christ. These things we give over in your Son's name. Amen. I want to read you a quick last line. I've heard it said that the old hymns, or that the hymns from yesteryear, and probably some of the new ones, but the old hymns tell a story, and in 4 verses, this hymn told a story. But the last line of it rolls it all back together when it says, "So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you till your journey's end." Brothers and sisters, that is my prayer for you today, that you know the many blessings that you have. May God watch over and keep you.